morning. How's everybody doing today? Come on, wasn't worship awesome? It was awesome, man. I spit all over the floor during worship. I don't know what I was doing, but when they turned the lights on, I just saw a bunch of water spots, and I turned to Tanya. I said, did you do that? No, it's just me. Now, worship, radical worship. How do you like that? It's spitting part of worship. I don't know if that's in the Bible, but guess what? It happened. You know, I believe we're on the verge of breakthrough like we've never seen before. I listened to a prophecy by John Kilpatrick that God, in the next 100 days, starting March the 1st, he said that God is going to redefine his people and that we're going to live in a season of suddenly. Come on, how many of y'all are ready for that? God comes suddenly, by the way. That's how God comes. You know, have you ever been struggling there and all of a sudden, boom, God comes and you have breakthrough? I believe that's coming for the next 3 months. We ought to have an expectation that God is going to come suddenly, that things are going to change, things are going to be redefined. He used Peter as an example that Peter was a reed, but Jesus changed him to a rock. Amen? Come on, now that's a change. That's a metamorphosis, that God's going to do some things like that that we're not even going to recognize ourselves. Are you ready for that? I'm ready. Look at your neighbor, say, give him a high five, say, glad you made it today. Good to see you. Come on. Tell them you are looking good today. Someone say it by faith. Come on, you're looking good today. Good to be in the house of God. Some of y'all just call those things that be not as though they are. Amen. Turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. I want to really focus today on a life of excellence and how God has called us to be excellent in the small things. Excellent in the small things. There's a principle in the kingdom of God that God will never entrust you with the big until you're faithful in the small. So here's the deal. If God doesn't entrust us with the big until we're faithful in the small, we need to understand that there are no such thing as small things in the kingdom of God, because everything, even the small things in the kingdom of God, have the dynamic of becoming huge. Everything that God does, he begins in seed form. When God created heaven and earth, we're going to read something about that in Genesis 1, but it says that he created the trees with the fruit, and in the fruit was the seed. And the seed had in it. You see, when God created a seed, he saw the forest. When God created this seed, he saw forest. You see, in the seed was the potential for greatness. So when we're a good steward with the small things that God gives us, before you know it, we'll be a steward over bigger things. Because God has a plan, and he wants us to cooperate with the plan by stewarding what he's given us. Can I just say something? Don't be afraid of the next step. Don't be afraid of the next step. You've been faithful in the little, Jesus said. Now I'm going to make you rule over much. How many of you know, a lot of times when we hear, you've been faithful with the little, we're okay with that. Right? You're a good boy. You did good. Thank you, Lord. Now, get better. Don't be afraid of the next step. You've been faithful with the little. Now I'm going to make you ruler over much. So get ready for the next step, but let's understand that the kingdom of God operates by the principle of the seed. That everything that God does begins in seed form. Matthew 13, verses 31 through 33, Jesus told them another parable, and he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. And he told them another parable. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. So we got to understand, how many of y'all ever seen a mustard seed? It's like a little grain. Not even like a seed. I like mustard greens. How many of y'all like mustard greens? I don't want to get thrown off track here, but I'm just thinking about mustard greens. But a mustard seed, in that seed is the potential. Here's the deal. Everything that God does begins in seed form. It starts small. But every seed has in it God potential, God purpose, and God power. Every seed that God creates has something in it. The God potential that God put in it. The God purpose that God put in it. Everything. That's why abortion's so terrible, because God forms man and has a purpose for that baby, and then we stop it. Because when God creates something, He creates it with God's purpose. He creates it with God's plan in it. And He creates it. Doesn't mean we're going to fulfill it. But every one of us were created by God to do something great. God didn't create us to merely exist. God created us to have influence. Every seed has God's purpose, God's plan, God's potential, and God's power in it. Genesis 1, 28 through 29, it says, God blessed them, talking about man and woman. And He said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and every living creature that moves on the ground. Verse 29 said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. Underline seed in it. Because seed represents God's potential. You see, when God created the seed, He had a forest in mind. When God created man, He had mankind in mind. When God sent Jesus, His plan was the salvation of the whole world. Jesus was the seed to regeneration in the spiritual realm of mankind. Everything that God does starts off small, but God has a huge plan for it. There's something about these seeds. One tree with a seed in it. The thing we got to be careful of is that we don't get caught up in the attitude of our culture, of where we want things done now. We want things to happen now. We want to see results now. God comes suddenly, but normally when the suddenly comes, it's only after you've waited a while. Right? The Bible says that they were all in one place in one accord for 120 days. For 120 days, how many of y'all could sit in one place one time for 120 days? Why were they doing that? Because Jesus said, do what? Wait until. You see, God has a suddenly plan, but it's always in a seed form, and when it's time, it's time. How many of y'all know that some of the seeds in a desert can stay dormant for 40 years until it begins to grow? I'm not saying that what God wants to do in your life is going to take 40 years. Some of you just take a little longer than others because you're so hard-headed. Yes, some of you wives hitting your husband, you see, I told you were hard-headed. That's you. That's how ladies do. I'm sorry, men do it too. Men, when your wife does that, you say, hey, lay off of me right now. I'm listening to the pastor. That's a joke. Those of you that don't know me, that's just a joke. Zechariah 4:10 says this, do not despise the day of small beginning. God trusts you enough to give you a little bit. It's okay, listen to this. It's okay to start small. It's not okay to stay that way. Because in the parable of the talents, when Jesus came back, Or the steward came back and he said, where are the talents? The one that said, I took the one you gave me and I buried it. Here you go. Here's what you gave me. Jesus said, you wicked and unprofitable servant. God expects everything that He gives us to grow. God expects. Do you understand that in the seed was the power of regeneration and multiplication? Life was in the seed. Matter of fact, Jesus told a parable. He said, when a farmer goes out and sows a seed, remember this? In other words, I have a responsibility for the seed that God's given me. The farmer went out and sowed the seed, and all by itself, whether he slept or whether he got up, it began to sprout and grow. The kingdom, God has already made the seed to be successful. It's already in it. The supernatural is in the seed. You know, the Lord spoke to me one day and he said, you see that seed? The farmer has a responsibility to plant the seed and work the ground, not the responsibility for the seed to grow. I do the practical. God takes care of the supernatural. It's already in it. So when we take care of what God's given us, all by itself, it grows. Because that's how God creates things. But he desires our stewardship in it. There's regeneration and multiplication in the seed. Here's some keys to multiplying your smallness, multiplying your seed. Mark 6, 34 through 44, we're going to read. It says, when Jesus landed and he saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. Come on, isn't that something? Jesus expects you to do something about a situation. You know what? You got more in you than you think you do. I tell you, when I started pastoring this church, I was over my head. And can I just tell you, I'm still over my head. Someone talked to me. I had a conversation with a lady, and she said she was talking about, you know, how's the church? And I said, can I just say, it's got to be tough. She said, I live over my head. God expects us to do something, but it's going to be more than you can do. You see, we're going to talk about these five loaves and two fish. What was in his hand was not enough to feed 5,000 men. Can I just tell you that we are innately inadequate to do what God's called us to do? Right? That's why we need God super in our natural. We need the supernatural power of God to do what God's called us to do. Because we do not have the ability, we don't have the resources, we don't have all that stuff that helps us to be successful. It's got to come from him. You give them something to eat. Can you imagine? I walk up to Jesus and say, Lord, I got a sandwich here. What do you have in your hands? I got a box of sardines and some crackers. Well, then give what you have. How do you think when God says something like that? You know what you're thinking? He's crazy. This is not going to work because we don't have the ability to think beyond what we see. But I'll tell you this. I was thinking about this as I read it today, meditated on it. Do you understand that this situation changed everything with the disciples? It changed how they viewed Jesus. When this miracle happened, it changed everything. It changed their mentality. It changed their attitude. You see, when God comes in a way you didn't think he could come, and he comes in that way, it changes everything. And you stop worrying about what you've got, and you start focusing on who he is and his ability and his power. It goes on to say, Jesus said, give them something to eat. They said, Lord, it would take more than a half year's wages. Are we going to go and spend that much on bread and give them something to eat? Still thinking of the practical. You know what they started doing? Give them something to eat. They started checking their pockets. Lord, all I got is a dollar in my pocket. How many loaves do you have? They said that would take more years' wages. Are we going to spend that much on bread? Give me. Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. When they found out, they said five. Question I would ask there is, how did Jesus know there were loaves? How many loaves? He already knew how many loaves there were. He already knew where the loaves were. He said, go find them. How many loaves do you have? Go and see. When they found, they said five and two fish.
And Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. I mean, think about it. They're saying, okay, Jesus said, go do this. Make them sit down in groups. What would you be thinking? Yeah, okay, we're sitting people in groups for what? For five loaves and two fish. They're probably elbowing each other going, yeah, let's see how this works. And taking the five loaves, here's the miraculous. Taking the five loaves and two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke them. And he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. And he also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate, were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces of bread and fish. And the number of men who had eaten was 5,000. Here's one thing I want us to, here's a quote I saw by Martin Luther King to think about. If I can't do great things, I can do small things in a great way. How about this? Gordon Hinckley said, I hope you will simply do what you can in the best way you know how. If you do so, you will witness miracles. Here's the key. If the disciples wouldn't have obeyed, there wouldn't have been a miracle. They could have said, this is ridiculous. I'm going home. This doesn't make sense. Here's seven principles that I picked out of these verses that I want us to get into our spirit because God's about to break out in the miraculous in this place. In this place. Number one, the first thing we need to understand is that Jesus will ask us to do something that doesn't make sense. Jesus will ask us to do something that doesn't make sense to test our faith and our obedience. He said, you give them something to eat. See, everything that God wants to do in your life later, you must be faithful now. What's in your hand is the key to your destiny. The first thing you need to understand is that what you have is not enough. The second thing you need to understand is what you have will never be enough. The third thing you need to understand is not what you have anyway that matters. Number four, the fourth thing you need to understand is that it's all in His hands anyway. Jesus is going to ask you to do something that doesn't make sense. Because God is not a practical God. He's a supernatural God. And if we'll obey in the context that we can obey in the little that we have, God will begin to do miraculous things. God's not asking you to understand. Write this down. He's asking you to trust Him. The problem is we're trying to figure out what God's doing. And he said, my ways are so much higher than your ways. My thoughts are above your thoughts. As the heavens are above the earth, so my thoughts are bigger than your thoughts. Isaiah 55. That's Mark 6, 35 and 37. See, they were thinking practically, Lord, let's just send the people away so they go buy themselves some food. But he answered, you give them something to eat. You got something to give, by the way. Question is, will you obey God and give Him? Number two, the second thing you got to understand is what's in your hand. You'll understand the principle of the seed. It's not what you give that matters or what you have that matters. It's what you do with what you have. As we're obedient with what He tells us to do, with what's in our hand, He can take what's in our hand and turn it into something overflowing. It began in their hand, but it ended up in baskets. It fit in their hand at first, but it didn't fit in the hand anymore. When you obey God and act in faith to what He's called you to do, what you have in your hand won't fit in your hand anymore. You're going to need a dump truck.
You see, God, we need to change our mind. You see, the Bible says that Jesus blessed it. He lifted up and he looked at the Father in heaven. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it. And the disciples distributed it. You got to think like a distributor, not an owner. God's anointed you to be a distributor. God's whole plan in life was for Abraham, when he called Abraham, the Abrahamic blessing, he said, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make your name great. And all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed because of you. Why? Because I'm going to make you a distributor. What's in your hand is the key to the miraculous. That quote by Gordon Hinckley is amazing. He said, I hope you will simply do what you can the best way you know how. If you do so, you will witness miracles. Mark 6:38, Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? He said, five loaves and two fish. See, Jesus took it. Jesus takes what you have. He breaks it. He blesses it. And he multiplies. It's amazing what God will do through you if you obey. The second thing is, what's in your hand? Understand that what's in your hand is the key to your destiny. We all know the story of Jack and the beanstalk. Jack was told to go buy a cow, and he bought some magic beans. Mama said, that ain't what I told you to buy. I slapped the beans out of his hand, but the destiny was in the seed. Destiny's in your seed. When you are a seed thinker, you will be a steward of the garden. In other words, the whole point is seeing the seed succeed. I had a grandpa who planted a garden every year. And I knew during the summer, if I went over to his house, the first thing he'd say is, let's go work the garden. As a little boy, and I'd say to myself, because I had to pull weeds, I had to hoe the garden, I had to pull the suckers off the tomato plants. Why? Because he had a plan to produce something. We've got to be careful that we don't get minuscule in our thinking, because God wants to turn our minuscule into something mighty. It's not about the seed anymore. Once the seed begins to grow, it's about doing what we can to see it multiply. The third thing I wrote down was this: do the math with a question mark. It does not, it never will add up, by the way. Do the math. Let me see. Five loaves, two fish, 5,000 people. Does not compute. You need to remember the God factor. The God factor. What's that mean, Pastor? That means when Jesus shows up, everything changes. It all changes. The God factor is when God releases his super into our natural. His unlimitedness into our limitedness. His miraculous into our minuscule. His power into our lack. The God factor changes everything, even when it doesn't add up. Do the math. It doesn't add up. John 15:5, Jesus said this, apart from me, you can do nothing. Everything God's called us to do requires his supernatural power. Learn that the all-by-itself principle is God releasing his power into what he's created. The Lord spoke to me. He said, a farmer, when he plants his seed, he doesn't go out every day checking to see if the seed's going to work. Because it's going to happen. You see, when a farmer plants a seed, he's not thinking about the seed. What's he thinking about? The harvest. We got to start thinking like harvest thinkers, not seed planters. We can't worry about the seed. Let's worry about the harvest. Worry about what Jesus is worried about. You start thinking on the lines, you start thinking different, then you'll take care of the seed, but it won't be about the seed anymore, because after a while, you're just going to have to run to keep up with what God's doing. You see, after the disciples began to distribute, guess what they became? They went from distributors to harvesters. You can't sow a seed that God has in your life and be obedient to what God's called you to do where you don't begin to receive something back. And the Bible said that after it was over, there were 12 basketfuls overflowing. 12 of them. It doesn't compute. Don't do the math anymore. Just obey. Doesn't add up. You see, I think that those 12 basketfuls were a reflection of how our life ought to be. A life of overflow, of abundance of what God's given us. We don't have time for petty thinking, petty living, pettiness. We better get with the getting. See, the devil wants to get you petty. He wants to get me petty, where all I am is a problem finder, not a problem solver. I don't have time for problems. Y'all remember the Predator, that movie? Jesse the Body Ventura, you remember that? That's back when he's bowed up. He's not that way anymore. He got shot, and one of his buddies said, "You're bleeding." He said, "I don't have time to bleed." You don't have time for the other stuff. You got a purpose. God's got a plan. Doggone it, we're going to fulfill it. We're going to start thinking big. I made my mind up a long time ago. I was praying, and I said, "Lord, I'm tired of petty living and petty giving. I want to change my dynamic of my life. Can I help you just a little bit? You are where you are because that's where you intend to be. We ought to be moving towards something. Paul said, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. How did he do that? This one thing I do, forgetting those things that lie behind, I press toward the mark. Don't worry about what happened yesterday. It's going to be okay. God's in control. Just don't allow your attitude to become petty. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I quit trying to figure God out a long time ago. I don't have the ability. Number four, God has a plan. Sometimes we don't understand it. I found that when I don't understand, then I just got to trust that God is who he says he is, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do. God cannot deny himself. You understand that? Back to Isaiah 55, the Lord said, "My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are so much higher than your ways. As the heaven is far above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Isaiah 55, 8. God sees the beginning, the end, and the beginning. We see parts. By the way, I've learned this. The hardest times in my life have become my best equipping times for ministry. God turns your hard times into your best times. And, you know, we got to be careful because we tend to forget when things begin to go well, don't we? I was reading in the one-year Bible yesterday, the Lord said, "Be careful when you come into your nice homes and your spacious lands that you forget your God." I will tell you, we ought to embrace these hurtful, hard times because it keeps us close to Him. Keeps me pressing in to know Him. I don't want easy anymore. I'm not living my walk to get to a place of easy.
You understand that Canaan, when God said go into Canaan, it wasn't a place, an oasis where everything was okay. Because they had to go in. God said, I'm giving you the land, now go take it. You have to fight the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Amorites, all the termites, all the ites, whatever they are. All them ites. Oh, Lord, help us with all the ites. You are in a constant battle wherever you go. You never enter in. We enter into peace. We have peace, but we enter into peace when we're in heaven. I just say I'm preaching a lot better than y'all amening. Number five, Jesus takes our lack and turns it into his abundance. Woo. Some of you, I believe this by the prophetic, that some of you are in a place where God's testing you. Some of you are in a place where God has put the ball in your court to see what you're going to do so that he can bless you abundantly. I was talking to someone yesterday. You know, my life in walking with God was always just everything was easy. But I came to a point where nothing was easy anymore, where nothing made sense. And I had to make a decision whether I was just going to say, phooey, throw my hands up and say, this doesn't work, or come to the point where I say, Lord, see, Job had it. He said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. I had to come to a point with all the hell breaking loose in my life, and some of us may be going through that right now. Can I just tell you, hang on. God's going to come, and then when he comes, it's going to shift, and when it shifts, everything's going to be all right. There's a shifting coming. And I had to make a decision whether God, that I'm going to trust God and believe that God is who he says he is, and that he's going to do what he says he's going to do, or I was going to give up. And I'm going to tell you, my flesh wanted to quit. Matter of fact, I had a phone call ring. The phone rang, and I said to God, God, if this is another report of bad news, I can't take it. And it wasn't. God knows where you are. God knows what you need. And I can promise you he's going to come through. When things don't make sense, trust me. When you don't have the answer, trust me. When all hell's coming against you, trust me. Can I just tell you, trust him? Because God is faithful. And he hasn't brought you to this place to leave you. He's brought you to this place to bring you through this place, because when you come through this place, everything's going to be all right. Yeah, here's the deal. Think about this. I was reading Psalm 23. We all know this scripture. David said, he leads me through paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's a beautiful sentence. But the next sentence says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know what the Lord spoke to me? He said, the paths of righteousness sometimes lead through the valley of the shadow of death. Think about that. Paths of righteousness go through hard time valley. It's going to be all right, because you're going to go through the valley, we're going to come up on top of the mountain. Jesus takes our lack and turns it into his abundance. This is powerful. Jesus blessed it, he broke it, and he gave them back. And we're responsible to give to others what God has given to us. Mark 6, 41 through 42, taking the five loaves and two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. Every one of them ate and were satisfied. Get the picture. Jesus broke it and blessed it. And then the disciples would come and he was just doing this. They were coming back, all 12 of them. Shuffling cards. Look at your neighbor and say, God's got this. Lord, we don't have enough. We never will have enough. It's not about what I have anyway. It's about who you are. Amen. Genesis 12:2. The Lord spoke to Abraham. He said, come on, think like a distributor. Think like a distributor. Think like a distributor. You're not an owner. You are a steward of what God's given you. Therefore, everything that God gives you, you're responsible to give away. I might make a statement. Somebody say, well, can I use that? I say, yes, not mine anyway. I'm a distributor. God gives it to me. I give it. You can take it and use it for whatever you want to use it for. Not mine. Matter of fact, can I just help you? Nothing you have is yours. We're just stewards. And by the way, it's not about you. It is about you in God's eyes, but it's not about you either. Yes, he wants to bless you, but not so you can get all swole up like a toad frog. He wants to bless you so you'll become a distributor of his goodness and his grace and his blessing. That everything I have, such as I have, give I unto thee. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Genesis 12:2. Number six, God will use our lack to fulfill his purpose. I've quit trying to be an identifier of lack. Lack's all around us. And you know, we can put our finger on, well, you know, you got this problem. Yeah, I know. You got this issue. Yeah, but God's going to use me despite that. Mark 6:42, they all ate and were satisfied. He turned the disciples' insufficiency to something more than enough. Your insufficiency is not your problem. Can I just tell you? Your problem is looking at yourself. Your insufficiency, your five loaves and two fishes will never be the problem. It's how you see God and how you respond to him when things don't make sense. God's going to test you in your obedience when things don't make sense. If all you ever have is what's in your hand, it won't be long, you won't have that. Because it's not what you have that matters, it's what you do with what you have. If you keep and eat your seed, you'll never have a harvest. Number seven. That when Jesus made this miracle, after miracles happened in your life, I don't get so undone about things anymore. I understand that God's going to come through. Number seven, you're going to live differently from that time on. When a miracle happens in your life and God comes through and there are 12 basketfuls overflowing, left over, you are going to act different. You're going to give different. You're going to pray different. You're going to believe different. Come on, because what was in your hand turned into something you never thought it could turn into. That what you thought you had. You see, we're at a good place as a church, but listen, God doesn't call us to good places. He calls us to live from faith to faith and glory to glory. I'm in a good place as a pastor, but it's not good enough because we've got something to do, and I want to live out the overflow that God's given us. 12 basketfuls overflowing. Well, Pastor, what does that mean? I think it represents two things. One, it represents the disciples' life. There were 12 disciples. There were 12 baskets, and they were overflowing. In other words, God says, I'm anointing you to do what I just did. You're going to live out of the miraculous from now on, not out of your ham sandwich, not out of your box of sardines and two crackers, your five crackers and box of sardines. You're going to start living out of a life of overflow. Come on. God wants us to begin to live out of the life of overflow. Everything's different now. Never be the same again. When God releases his miraculous, we're at a good place, but I don't want to be in a good place.
I want to be in a place that the more God does for us, that we live a life of overflowing. Amen. Mark 6, 43 through 44 says, the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread. I love that. Come on, God uses broken things. Broken pieces of bread and fish, and the number of men who had eaten were 5,000, and he said there were 12 basketfuls left over. 12 basketfuls of what? Broken things. That God dispersed into blessing others. Amen? Come on, we're all just a bunch of broken people that God's broken but is using in the miraculous. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. How many of y'all got something out of this message today? I preach myself sweaty. I got that bishop anointing on me right now. I like it. Hey, I got another quote for you by Ronnie Oldham. It says, excellent is the result of caring more than others think is wise, risking more than others think is safe, dreaming more than others think is practical, and expecting more than others think is possible. I'm ready for the super in my natural. Are you ready for that? Come on, have y'all ready to say, Pastor, I'm ready to live a life of overflow. That God's going to take my brokenness, my broken pieces, and it's going to give me a basket to hold it in, and I'm going to overflow and distribute what he's given me to others. There's people, listen, I want you to, let's put this in perspective. There's people's destinies at stake, waiting on you to overflow. You don't have time to bleed. You don't have time for the little things anymore. We got a job to do. We are kingdom people, and God's put his kingdom in us. We're about to overflow the kingdom in our city, in our nation, in our world, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Lift your hands before the Lord right now. Father, fill us up. Lord, we are a basket. Fill us up. Father God, change our minds from that of a consumer to one of a distributor. Lord God, as you break and you bless and you multiply, we have a responsibility to take what you've given us and give it away. There are people's lives, people's destinies at stake. Forgive us for focusing on what's wrong and what I need. Lord God, let me take what you've given me and start giving it away. I am a distributor of the blessings of God. My words are full of life. My attitude is one of an overcomer. I am a finisher, not just a good starter. Lord God, I am an encourager. I'm a life man. I'm full of life. And whoever I come in contact with, the life of God is going to spill out of me onto them. Jesus, you said in John 7:37 that out of my belly will flow rivers of living water, that Lord God, wherever I go, the very life and Zoe life of God is going to flow out of me and spill on other people. That we are a church full of life. We are a church full of purpose. We are a church full of destiny. We receive that. That Lord, right now, fill us up so when we leave here, we spill out on our community. We spill out on our neighbors. We spill out on our co-workers. In the name of Jesus, I loose it. I decree it. I declare it. Lord God, this is our year of breakthrough. That Lord, you are Bel Perazim. The Lord has broken out like many waters. In Jesus' name, amen.
You won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours.
I'll say, as a seal upon my heart, as a seal upon my arm, for is as strong as death, jealousy demanding as the grave.